Welcome to the Infrastructure Show. I'm your host, Professor Joseph Schoffer. I'm the director of Northwestern University's Infrastructure Technology Institute.
And I'm your co-host, Tom Herman of Vocalo.org, 89.5 FM.
The Infrastructure Show is designed to present to listeners the reality of America's infrastructure, its condition, why it is the way it is, and what can be done about it.
Our topic today is the Bayonne Bridge and container shipping in its vicinity. The bridge, completed in 1931, connects Bayonne, New Jersey, and Staten Island, New York. It is the world's fourth largest steel arch bridge with a main span of 1,675 feet.
This bridge was designed by acclaimed bridge builder Othmar Ammann, who was for many years the bridge engineer for the New York Port Authority. He designed six of the 11 bridges that connect New York City to the surrounding areas, including the George Washington Bridge and the Verrazano Narrows Bridge.
The Bayonne Bridge stands 151 feet above the Kill-Van-Kull tidal strait. Its four lanes carry at least 20,000 vehicles daily.
It is this 151-foot height above mean water level that presents the problem for container ships traveling to reach the New York Container Terminal at Howland Hook on Staten Island, as well as the Port of Newark docks. Some of the ships today are as high as 175 feet above waterline, and to pass under the bridge, they must take on ballast and fold down all masts, or alternatively, they have to wait for low tide. This problem will become worse when the Panama Canal expansion is completed in 2014 or 15.
At that point in time, the next generation of larger container ships, called post-Panamax vessels, now being built to take advantage of the canal's increased capacity, will be afloat. These ships, at 200 feet above water level, will be too high to pass under the Bayonne Bridge, even at low tide, thus affecting New York and New Jersey shipping.
To discuss this challenge to area shipping, we have with us today Frank McDonough, who's president of the New York Shipping Association, a bi-state trade group whose mission includes advocating for port improvements. Mr. McDonough, thanks for joining us today.
You're very welcome. I'm happy to be here.
Tell us something about the ports and the terminals that your organization represents, and particularly the ones that are affected by the Bayonne Bridge.
Okay. The New York Shipping Association is an organization of all of the terminal operators in the Port of New York and New Jersey and all of the carriers that call on the port. My organization provides all of the labor for operations in the port. The port handles about 5 million TEUs, we call them, which are 20-foot containers per year. And it's the terminal operators that actually move that cargo utilizing ILA labor. And, of course, it's the steamship lines that bring that cargo into the port. So we represent that entire mix of folks. The Port Authority in this port is simply a landlord port authority. We are the tenants and we are the operators.
And how many of these ports are affected by traffic that needs to pass under this bridge?
About 87% of all the cargo that comes into the port must pass under this bridge, and it goes to five of the six largest terminals in the harbor.
And one of the problems that we've identified is that the ships have gotten bigger over time and that some of them are nearly too big to get through now, except at low tide, and in the future there'll be even bigger ones. How is that going to play out?
Absolutely. This bridge was built in 1931, and it was certainly designed for the vessels of that day, but as you say, we've gotten a lot larger. Right now, today, as we speak, the largest vessel that we can get under that bridge is about 4,500 to 5,000 TEUs, again, that 20-foot box measurement of the industry. And some of our vessels can't get through right now because they're coming in relatively light-loaded, given the state of the economy. The next generation of vessels that will be coming to this port are 6,000 to 8,000 TEU vessels, and that will be next year and the following couple of years. None of those will be capable of getting under the bridge. And then finally, people like to talk about the post-Panamax vessels. These are the 10 to 13,000 TEU vessels, that many of which will go through the Panama Canal in 2014, 2015, when the redesign is completed and it's reopened. And, of course, none of those vessels will get under our bridge.
What's the motivation for the shipping lines to go to these larger ships?
Well, obviously, economy. It's simply economy of size. You get more boxes on one ship. It costs you an average of $40,000 a day to run one of these ships. So if you've got more boxes on there, you're obviously going to affect your bottom line positively. That's the first motivation. The second motivation in recent years has been the environment. The fewer ships you have in your service, the less impact you're going to have on the environment. Plus, the newer vessels are much more environmentally sensitive in terms of design.
Now, we have in our notes here that the bridge is at this moment is 151 feet above sea level. How tall are the post-Panamax ships? How much too tall are they?
Well, if you want to go to that generation of vessel, you're talking about vessels that could be as much as 175 to 200 feet above the water. However, as I mentioned a moment ago, we have 151 feet of air draft between the bridge and the water right now, and some of our vessels require 165 feet and can't get under the bridge.
So what do they do?
Well, I'll give you an interesting story. We had a vessel in March that came in. She couldn't get under the bridge, so they said, well, load her up with fuel. That'll put her further down the channel, and then she'd get under. And the captain said, oh, that's a good idea. They did that. And then he said, oh, wait a minute. We're going to drop off a couple of hundred boxes when we get on the other side of the bridge. How do we get back out? So in that case, it went to Norfolk.
So who cares about that?
I care a lot. We've got 270,000 jobs in and around this port that are dependent upon the port activities. I've got 4,000 longshoremen whose entire livelihood depends upon this port. And as a result of the ports being here, we pump in about $37 billion a year into business revenues here in this region. So it's a critical employer. It's a critical part of our local economy. And by the way, we're the largest and richest consumer region, not only in the country, but in the world. And so the folks that we serve are going to miss this port dearly if it's not here.
So this bridge is a serious obstacle to the economic viability of the region as a whole, beyond just the significant employment in the terminals themselves.
Absolutely.
So what are the options that people are considering?
Well, we did a study a couple of years ago, New York Shipping. We arranged for a study by a couple of nationally known engineering firms, and they went out and looked at options such as raising the existing bridge, turning it into a movable bridge, replacing it with a bridge to the east, replacing it with a bridge to the west. And then finally, in the end, we decided that the best approach, albeit probably the more expensive approach, but the best approach was to dig a tunnel under the Kilvan Cull, because it would create the least amount of disruption for people on either side of that channel.
So that tunnel would carry the 20,000 or so vehicles a day that are using the bridge?
It would not only do that, but one of the other things that we included in our design recommendation was a light rail line from Staten Island to Bayonne, because this bridge, the reason you can't just blow it up and get rid of it is because it is the only other access and egress to and from the city of Bayonne, and also for the citizens of Staten Island going to jobs in Jersey City or catching the PATH train into New York City on the New Jersey side. So it's a major artery, even though it only handles about 20,000 vehicles a day. So we've never considered the idea of just getting rid of the bridge.
So one of the things that tells us is that it's not a matter of taking down the bridge and building the tunnel. It's a matter of getting that tunnel built and operational before you touch the bridge.
You bet. That's exactly right.
So what's the time frame for that?
Well, we've been guesstimating here, and we're not an engineering firm, but we've been guesstimating it would take 3 to 5 years in order to complete the EIS on this project, and then you could start your construction. So you're talking 10 to 15 years down the road. We've been trying very hard to push the owner of the bridge to accelerate that process. The owner of the bridge is, of course, the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey.
What's the EIS?
Environmental Impact Statement.
And any sense of the price tag for the project? I know it'd be an estimate, but...
Yeah, we think that it's going to be at least $1.5 billion. The Port Authority has estimated up to $2 billion.
And with what at stake when you're talking about 5 million containers a year coming in, all these jobs, the impact on the region?
The impact on the region, if we don't fix the bridge, is estimated to be around $4 to $4.4 billion annually.
So armed with that, does it become an easy sale? Who are you going to for money? Who pays for it?
Well, the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey is the owner of the bridge, but what we've tried to do is to partner with them and with our congressional delegation and with the two states that are on either end of the bridge, if you will, to all contribute to this particular project. And as a matter of fact, we were able to convince our congressional delegation to earmark this in the next surface transportation bill at the tune of $100 or $125 million to help get things started.
So that would get the planning and design moving along.
You bet.
Do you have a sense that this is a problem that's unique to your market, or is it something that's happening in other parts of the country?
Well, let me let me split that question in two. It's unique to the market on the East and the Gulf Coasts. There is no other port on our side of the country that has an impediment like this. As a matter of fact, the Port of Charleston just a couple of years ago completed replacing the two bridges that were an impediment in their port. However, on the West Coast, in San Pedro, which is the Los Angeles and Long Beach basin there, there is a bridge there, the Gerald Desmond Bridge, which provides an roughly equivalent obstacle for operations there. And in fact, the California congressional delegation actually got some money set aside in the last transportation bill, I think it was $100 million, to start the planning process on that bridge.
What's your sense of how soon a tunnel would need to be completed and the bridge taken down in order for there not to be a major disruption in the shipping?
Well, one correction, and that is that we don't anticipate taking the bridge down. We just anticipate taking the roadbed off the bridge. We're going to leave the arch up. Our recommendation was to leave the arch up because of its historical significance. But in any case, I would say that if we don't have this done by 2020 or a little bit later, then we're going to lose those customers I was talking about earlier.
And once people develop a pattern of going somewhere else, it's hard to get them back.
They don't come back.
There's one thing just as a layman that I don't understand. Taking off the roadbed, I don't understand how that would raise the bottom height of the arch, which seems to be the problem.
Well, the roadbed hangs from the arch.
Oh, it's suspended.
Sure, that's going to give us a couple of hundred feet if you take off the roadbed.
So one last question. Are you optimistic? Is this problem going to be solved in a timely way? Will you find the money and do the job?
I get paid to be optimistic.
Excellent.
And I get paid to work real hard to push people to make sure it happens. As long as we keep our eye on the ball, yes, it'll happen. I mean, the governor of the state of New Jersey, for example, which is one of the two governors that control the Port Authority, has already stood up and said this is the second highest priority for the state of New Jersey.
Well, that's encouraging for you. It sounds like this is a complicated game with many, many players. We wish you much success and appreciate your illustrating this problem for us today.
I'm happy to do so. Bye-bye.